Hello and welcome back to the Handstand Cast with me, Emmett Lewis, and my glorious co-host, Mikael Christiansen. How are things going, Mikael?
Yeah, it's going gloriously.
Awesome.
Yeah, I can't complain. I'm actually sitting next to Emmett Lewis, right across the table. That's a rare occurrence.
Yeah.
I've been in Ireland for a few days. And it turns out that Emmett has bought a mansion.
A maison, if you will. Yeah, so, I don't know, as you probably picked up, I've been hinting at something big and going through quite a stressful time. So me and my partner, Lisa, decided to do basically everything you can do in life as a couple in 1 year. So we have a dog, Albus, as you know. We have purchased the house.
Boom.
And we also have a baby on the way.
Shit.
Yeah, so we're going through an incredible reset. Anyone who's ever bought a house knows it's a very stressful time, and banks are fucking assholes.
No, I can't imagine.
Yeah, I know. We nearly lost the sale a few times due to the banks losing documentation and shit.
Mm.
But we're here now, and Mikael is visiting.
So it's not a house. It is a fucking cathedral. It's actually pretty epic.
Should probably get it. Yeah, so we have purchased the place. So first of all, I'd actually like to say thank you to all our backers on Kickstarter for the Modern Methods of Mobility Kickstarter. We kind of put a stretch goal in there of the Church of Flex, as it was actually a bit of a joke and we weren't actually purchasing the house at the time, but the funds we got from that were actually able to tip us over the edge to purchase an old monastery.
Kitchen.
So we actually do have a church.
Yeah.
So we do. The Church of Flex is in a church. And over the coming years, we are going to turn this into a venue of sorts for artist residencies, retreats, our own events, you know, all these cool things. So, yeah, thank you, everyone, for all your support over the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, everyone, who sort of believed in us and allowed us to make a career out of being weirdos.
Yeah. A career out of being idiots sitting talking into a microphone in the kitchen. Yes, but like this place is like it's one of the coolest places I've ever been. The entire estate is huge. I don't know how many square meters. What is it? 450?
450-ish. Fuck. So yeah, so we have a chapel. So it's literally an old monastery or old monastery that was a school at certain points, but they built a chapel onto the side of it at one point.
Mm.
So the chapel church will be the training hall. The Church of Flex, obviously. So I think that's, you know, I don't know. I think that's about 100, 120 square meters.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have the main house, which is attached to, is probably about 300. So, yeah, so we have space to host people, let them sleep. Then we have some outbuildings, which we'll kind of convert into dorms and living stuff. Yeah. All set in the glorious Roscompton.
Yeah,
Roscompton. We live in this place, so it's basically like the place we bought. If it was anywhere else in Ireland, we wouldn't have been able to afford it. But Roscommon, every time we say it to someone, was like, "Oh, we moved to Roscommon," like, ugh. But then we tell them because we're on the border of Mayo. Do we have if we have a listener in Roscommon? Maybe we might have one. Give me a shout out to know that you exist. The one person who does handstands.
Yeah, yeah. I was surprised to see there's like actual cars like parked not too far from the house. It's really not exactly central, but that's part of the charm too.
Yeah.
It's super super cool and ancient stone building, epically glorious, large. All like it has way too many rooms, so you get kind of confused on where you are almost in the beginning. and it has like a weird mezzanine with beds on top that looks really uncanny in a very strange way.
There's a lot of like
interesting architecture in how they've kind of refurnished it.
I think like there's a lot of because we've kind of been looking for buildings of this kind of style in Ireland. There's a lot of like the parishes, so where the kind of church divisions of townlands are, they'll always have a kind of presbytery or monastery or something like this, and they're normally pretty big stately homes, but they're normally in a bit of disrepair. We looked at a few of them over the years that were just literally had no roof or anything. We're like, okay, we'll try refurb it, turn it into a retreat center. And then we found this place where some Canadian couple had moved in and, yeah, refurbed it. They've done a very nice job on some bits, but then a lot of it you're just like, what were you thinking here? This doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Why is there electrical cables not in conduit hiding in my walls?
Sketchy.
Yeah, definitely sketchy. But, I'm looking forward to it. The nice thing is, it means we'll actually have a permanent filming space as well.
Yeah.
So that means there'll be more content on the YouTube sort of trickling out. Well, we need a while to settle in and get the place done.
Yeah, there's work to be done.
Yeah, but then that'll be kind of nice. That we can just kind of cool. go in. We'll also be featuring, I suppose, in the Handstand Factory programs from now on. Handstand Rectory. Yep.
There might definitely be happening Handstand Factory events here. Definitely looking forward to... It's like the chapel is huge, and it's a kind of perfect size for certain groups of people for training. So,
yeah. One of my friends was suggesting we do the Japanese concept of uchideshi.
Uh-huh.
I think is the reference. Where it's basically like you... It's basically like your disciples, but the kind of implication in Japanese society is they also are like, are your bitches and have to just do whatever the fuck you say. So he's kind of using the concept of like, oh, you know, it's karate and martial arts and even calligraphy and stuff. But you go, you know, you'd live with your master and then like you just have to do everything. But there were some cases like some guy, I think karate guys, like they're running the school, also running the farm. And then he was just like beating them.
Very nice. Yeah. So if people wants to be beaten by Emmett Lewis in the chapel, it's just to come.
But it'll just be like handstand beating and flexibility beating, where it's like, it's not really me hurting you, it's your own body hurting you.
Yeah, it's true. That's definitely an appropriate analogy for this practice of suffering. And yeah, I mean, this is about the time where we say we have a topic, but today we don't really have one. So it means you're listening to the Ramblecast. Ba-dum-bum-ba! So what do we have on YouTube?
It's my last blaze of glory.
So what's new? With me, not much is new. I've just been playing a like absolute truckload of shows. And been feeling pretty beat up as a result. And guess what? I'm going to go and play more shows. We're going to rehearse next week and then head into a series of shows in Stockholm. So if you live in Stockholm and you want to see us, the show Knitting Peace by Cirque Cirqueur, play at the House of Dance, Dansens Hus, then you can see us from the... I think it's around the 1st to the 12th of June or something like that.
And we'll give a bit of a bonus. There's pictures of Mikael on adverts for the show around Stockholm. Anyone can DM me a picture of this in the wild, or DM Handstand Factory in the wild, that would be awesome.
Don't do it, Emmett. Fuck. Yeah, so I'm not exactly a large fan of the new promotional pictures on the show. I'm on it twice, actually, in the same shot for whatever reason. Not a particular fan of anything that has to do with that picture, but Jesus Christ, I look like I'm Gollum and 12 years old. So yeah,
it's good. Like, it is a really good like interpreted like circus physical theater interpretation of Gollum and his suffering. It's really good. Like I've got a photo. Like I got one picture of it that I'm gonna try and crop out and use for other kind of promotional materials. It's like, we were calling you, like, you know, I'm the Splits Wizard, and you were, like, the Handstand Elf, but, like, maybe you should be the Handstand Golem.
Yeah, I should be the Handstand fucking Golem, at least on that picture, Jesus Christ. Other than that, I mean, haven't really been doing, like, I've just been, like, really in this, show survival mode, like, the last weeks, and trying to kind of recover from that is... heavy. So I'm not exactly looking forward to just like throwing myself around on stage immediately again. Yeah. Since it's pretty physical shows, but I mean, gotta do what you gotta do, I guess. And I'm planning to survive this one too. And then after that, it's fucking vacation and I can just... I don't know what I'm going to do yet, but I feel like I just like...
Come back to Motion Abbey and hang out with us.
Yeah, that might be actually one option. But then again, I mean, it is Ireland. Like, when is Ireland warm? I mean...
It's like literally sunny outside the window now.
Literally sunny and like so 10 minus.
Just shut your mouth.
it looks warm from outside.
At one stage this morning, the kitchen on just on the corner, it's got one window facing north and one facing east. And it was sunny out one window and raining out the other window. I don't understand how Ireland was managing that, but we have a talent here.
Yeah, I noticed that yesterday too, like... It was sunny when I looked out the window once, and then I look out like 5 minutes later and there's a rainstorm, and then I look out again and it's like, oh, well, I guess the rain is gone now. It's rather weird how the weather systems here work.
Yeah. We have talent. We have a unique talent of not being terrible, but not being good.
Yeah, that's a definitely.
It's so like Ireland's performance in every sporting event. Well, it wasn't terrible, but
yeah. It's like 10th place. Winner.
Joint 10th place. Yeah. So we've kind of been like, we've been working on some of the programs. We've been working on, as we're basically whenever Mick has here, it means we're either doing some filming or working on some manuals and stuff. Mm. That's kind of interesting because we're working on one of the more advanced manuals for one-arm handstands. It's kind of, there's something in it that I thought just probably doesn't justify this whole thing, but it was kind of just one quote or something we had towards the end where we had like taking care of the body is one thing. Just, you know, if you know our manuals, we're going to have the subsections to give you a bit of guidelines on what you might want to look for. But then there was one like frustration management.
Mm.
And that is kind of, I think it's kind of interesting just to go into a bit. It's like, oh, because we, with everything in life you're doing, there's like a certain quotient of frustration you can manage before you say, fuck this, I'm done. And definitely like I had to, you know, me and my partner had to deal with frustration management a lot when we were buying this. But then it's also like frustration management in like handstands as like a frustration quotient. It's kind of like, it's like that bar that builds up in Final Fantasy.
Yeah, when you get a limit break. Except like it's not good when you get a limit break in real life. It's the exact opposite. You turn into a fiend and the worst version of yourself instead of getting superpowers. Fuck, why isn't it the opposite? Give us like video game logic now.
But like that's the kind of thing. There is like, there's some people who kind of thrive on that frustration and they kind of need to get like, get angry. They kind of hulk out at themselves and then like that gives them the kick they need to like, you know, do the thing.
Yeah.
On a pretty good, on a low training day, it's like, I should be able to do this. But then there's like the frustration management where you kick over and you're just like, fuck this, I'm shit.
Mm.
Everything's shit.
Mm.
And it's kind of like,
everything is shit. And I'm shit for 10,000 years.
Yeah.
And all I deserve is to be alone in a little dungeon.
Yeah. That's really that thing of like, particularly because like we have, say, single movement frustration where it's just like, this happens at every level of hand balance where it's like, oh, kick up frustration when you just go onto autopilot and just start.
Yeah, just keep trying.
Keep hammering. Or you go, like even advanced stuff, like whatever, it just happens. You're just like, oh, I can't, I could do this or I feel it, but I can't.
Mm.
And then like the frustration kind of blinkers you. And then instead of like auto-regulating your session a little, going, well, maybe there's something else I could do where I could go to myself, oh, wait, you're not actually that bad. It's just that move's not working today or something else would work. But no, there's only you, that move, and your frustration.
Yeah, it's I've been there a lot of times. I think most have or visit there semi-regularly. But I think any time you kind of like do hard shit, you're going to like end up like there's something, oh yeah, but that last week I could do it, or you find some sort of excuse to keep on doing it.
Yeah.
Even though like, you're not helping yourself, you're not helping anyone, and you're just like turning yourself into like a sulking little creature.
I think that's kind of pushing yourself into the frustration cave is that kind of thing, or I think a lot of people in some ways are looking for that cathartic release of throwing their canes around the room. Like it's definitely just like, yeah, I've been there. You've been there.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like cane. Doesn't matter which direction it's flying. And
I have a good clip of that when I fall from a switch and like I land my feet and I just throw the cane with the platform forwards and walk around like a fucking barbarian. It's great. But yeah, I think it's like for the fun, it can be in hindsight. It's never fun to feel that sensation.
Did you ever get the frustration, catharsis, relief, realism moment where you just like, you get so frustrated with something, you throw whatever you're doing around or you kick it. And then afterwards you go, oh, what the fuck am I doing?
Oh, yeah, you just for sure.
Kind of snap but out of it.
I mean, like, you remember that time I told about the when I broke my computer on the airport in Hong Kong? That was that moment. I slapped my computer. I don't have a computer anymore 2 seconds after. Then you go, fuck, no. But like, it didn't make you things any better, of course, because like the problem was far from solved. So yes, I have definitely been there. I think when you break something or like when you, Is there, I think there's something like that. That's maybe like in general emotional regulation and getting good at like, or getting better at dealing with your own shit is like, because I think a lot of that kind of like the learning to deal with those kind of things, like it doesn't matter if you have, like it's almost counterproductive to have someone older and more experienced than you tell you that this is not a good idea, because you just need to make that realization on your own.
Yeah.
You need to have done the bullshit enough times to just like get kind of a depth realization that either like someone close to you that you care about, like get actually really angry at you and you understand the consequences beyond yourself, or you break a thing which is like, shit, this, now I was up, like I could have avoided this, etc. I think it's funny with that, like it's kind of the classic where like you see a younger person and you've even told them like 25 times that this is not the way to go, and I think you might have a positive impact in some way, but you just need to learn yourself in a way, like you need to walk those steps until whatever realization comes to you actually comes. And I think the thing is it usually happens on an emotional level. Like you need to get some sort of actual consequence, because like all of our cognitive glory and effort, like it's not what changes people. That is like
kind of pain for broken toe or broken handstand.
Yeah, exactly.
Like broken handstand, broken laptop is a good fixer.
Or like, you end up like just doing 35 switches after your wrist said no, and then like you cannot stand on your hands for 7 months. Oh, well, shit. Okay, I actually need to do something about it. Like sometimes it's like you need the actual suffering to of yourself or someone near you to get to a point where you like make a change.
I think a lot of the frustration starts at the ears. That's where the blinkers start. They're not just the eye blinkers, but they come around the back of the head. Cover your ears up first.
Yeah.
You can't hear that advice. Someone's going like, maybe you should take 5 minutes or maybe you should do something else. Or, you know, last week something else was working better. Why don't you do that?
Yeah,
No. You can't hear that because you have the blinkers on. The ear blinkers are on.
Yeah.
The eye blinkers are going on. And there you're just like, it's just you and that trick until something explodes or you just give up.
Yeah, or like maybe you get lucky and you manage, but like you've still built up the frustration thing. Like the frustration bar has been built, so like you're like, it's usually not cathartic enough to just manage it a few times if you've reached the rage, or the sad, or whatever stage you end up in.
We could probably have five stages of frustration, like the five stages of grief, but like just Tyler for handstands. Yeah. Stage one, this worked last week.
Yeah.
Stage two, I can feel it.
Yeah.
Stage three, why won't you work?
Yeah.
Stage four, please work. Stage five,
Stage six, something is broken. I think I know I was a lot worse at that shit before. Still can, of course. I think it's just like anything. Like it also just depends on the amount of kind of resilience you have in a day, and that can be affected by anything. Like when you start the day shit with just something entirely unrelated, you're going to carry whatever happened with you. And like, if you get frustrated again, you're going to get frustrated double, because like it's the chemicals in your body hasn't left.
Yeah.
So like suddenly you're extra angry, but like, in the moment it feels like you're angry at the handstand, but in reality it's just like, but like the day was garbage, and like you didn't have the resilience to handle when something else went wrong. And I think like that would be the opposite too. Like you had like the best morning of your life and like things are super awesome and everything's great and you go training and you're in a good mood and nothing works and you're just like, oh fuck it, doesn't matter, okay, I'm doing pretty well anyway, because there is not like a compounding effect of several things. I think like getting some sort of realization on that. And like, that's actually one thing I've gotten better at, which means that like, it just requires more bullshit for me to get annoyed. But like, I can more often just go like, oh, well, yeah, this is this type of day that like, and then there's another thing. And that is the thing of like, just realizing, oh, well, everything was trash except, oh, but yeah, that thing kind of felt good. Okay. Whatever.
Yeah.
Like it's not going to fix your mood, but at least like you can make the cognitive actual effort of saying, well, I am going to acknowledge this thing that wasn't bad, because then you've come to the point, as a person at least, where you can be bad at something without your existence being bad and deserving to be in a corner forever. And no one would ever watch you with nothing but disdain. Like,
that's, you can. I can't. There's a good one actually from Youth Circus. I think I've shared this on the podcast before, but in the Youth Circus they had in Circus Space or whatever, the National Center of Circus Arts, I'm not sure if they still do it, but when they didn't teach it to us in the degree, because we were just meant to be able to handle handle massive piles of shite. But in the Youth Circus, they had, when they were doing a critique of a show, when they're making shows or giving feedback, because they do this a lot, it was pretty good for a youth program, that you had to give it in the form of a shit sandwich or a doo-doo sandwich at the younger ages. And what this means is you have to have a slice of bread, which is, you have to say something good about what someone was doing first. You have to go, this was really good. Then you give your shit. But when you tried this move, you bent your knee and didn't point your toe. Shock, horror, blame. But towards the end of the act, you've done this move or this sequence or done something really nice. So it's kind of layering in the stuff. And I think that's it's a good way to start. Like, even if you don't go end on a positive, I think it's good to acknowledge the positive stuff. If you have to go like, oh, you know, I couldn't kick up, like, even on a very simple level, I couldn't kick up today. But my wall holds were feeling pretty good. But, you know, then it's like, oh, my wall holds were really good today, or my dish hold was really good. But, you know, I couldn't kick up, but I was able to do my tuck against the wall fine. I was like, oh, it kind of frames it a bit differently.
Yeah.
And now, that's not going to help with your kick up at the time when you were in the frustration cave. But it will probably help your mood coming out.
Yeah.
That's kind of, the shit sandwich. I like it. It's kind of a good
shit
way.
Shit sandwich is definitely, I like the term.
Yeah, it's good. Like, I think we need to, like, you know, because journaling as a form of, like, self-help or other stuff is quite popular nowadays. Should probably come up with, like, the handstand journal. How to, like, oh, I have actually been thinking about that, of just like how to actually, because like I record a lot of my training sessions, a lot of people, as you know, do, but it's like, is there a way that you could have like, because you know, you need to record your program you want to attempt, your attempts, how it worked out, fantasy, reality, then also, you know, quality, so we have the subjective opinions as well, but then you also have your emotional judgment on your training as well. So then it's like, you know, there's times when like, I felt, you know, whatever, squats felt heavy as shit, but I got all my sets and reps and added a rep or two over the course of the workout. But then that's objective thing, but subjectively it felt shit. And like, yeah, and I think this objective subjective obviously has objective subjective emotional. I could probably put something else in there to be cooler. We need to make it like a cool acronym.
Yeah,
SEOM.
And then it needs to have a cool acronym and some like infographic. Preferably with an animation.
Yeah, animated infographics are really good.
That's how you make all the money. Yeah, but I think it's I think there's definitely some good stuff in like recording, reflecting over things rather than just like mindlessly doing. And I mean, you might need a bit of both. Like sometimes it's good to just get things done, forget about it, not really. You don't really need to kind of make an existential fucking novel about what you were doing, like regardless of what it is. But it can be useful sometimes as a tool, and particularly for periods, I think. And also in relation to like what is kind of your struggle with these things, if you do have kind of a lot of like, how to say, If you are one of those that have a tendency to use your handstands to process your emotional garbage, then that might be extra useful, perhaps. I think there's a lot more of us than it might seem, and that doesn't, like, I don't mean that handstands is like your psychology lesson or like a session. I mean that like it is a recreational activity for most of us, and then it has a skill component and it has kind of an achievement component, and like to what to some degree, you start like adding value or subtracting value to what you do and to yourself, depending on how it goes and so on. So if you just have a, and like, then you're kind of like, I'm sure anyone, like you've had like a shit day and nothing's like, you feel bad, but then, and all you want is just like to get in that room and be by yourself and do your handstand training, yeah. as if doing that is kind of like the goal of your day and makes you feel a hell of a lot better. And even regardless how it goes, like it might even not be a great session, but still you kind of get the cathartic feeling out of doing it. And of course, like I think it kind of acts as call it meditation in that way, that like it's a way of,
I think it's like glorified alone time.
Mm? Like, yes.
I'm a fan, like I like a good bit of alone time. I like to just sit in a room and I'm kind of person quite happy in just a pure white room. Mm. I could probably sit there. My fantasy is to try out that room that has no sound,
mm-hmm.
to see if it actually drives me insane or if they're like, you've been in there 4 hours.
Mm.
But I think handstands are great because like, it's like you go out, you know, you want to have a bit of alone time, but you know, you're at a cafe or whatever, it's not great, or wherever you're on public transport. But handstand is great because you just look at the floor. Mm-hmm. Like, no one crosses your visual field for that moment you're upside down. You're like, this is it. Me and you, floor. That's all you get.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not only is it like alone time, but it's also, I think like you have to focus.
Yeah.
And I think that is one thing a lot of people appreciate, that like you have to focus to do it. So, and it's like the meditative quality of it becomes very tangible because you just like everything kind of shuts off immediately.
Yeah.
When you do it, because it kind of has to, like the body's attempt at doing the thing is, and I guess that's also why people tend to want to learn more and more complex skills, because at the point where you can stand on your hands and not think about it at all, well, suddenly you're back to standing on your feet. It's no different. So you're searching for then a new challenge.
Suddenly the
thoughts
start coming in.
Yes. Leave me alone, thoughts. I must do another handstand, a harder one. Help.
Yeah. I think there must be like this sweet zone for handstand learning. It's probably going to be different for everyone else in skill level. But where you get the handstands, it requires the right amount of concentration to keep you kind of focused. But you haven't been doing it long enough to go like, I am a handstand person. If my handstand doesn't work, it's bad.
Mm.
And you just go in and just do handstands and just get all like the kick out of it. But without, it's probably like this golden zone where like then things get hard again and you have to focus and refine technique.
Mm.
There's always this kind of, I don't know if people remember that podcast, I don't know, probably season one or something, about using handstands as an actual awareness tool, how to actually really refine it.
Mm.
And that kind of, you can get into that state quite easy. It's just like, I'm just doing it.
Mm.
But I still have to maintain a bit of focus, but I don't need to worry if my toe's pointed or not.
Mm.
And then someone tells you your toe's not pointed, but you don't care because toe not pointed isn't a reflection on you.
Mm.
Then 6 months down the line, your toe's not pointed. You see it in a video yourself. You're like, shit.
Crushing defeat.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Bad person.
I'm a bad person because my body disobeyed me.
Yeah.
There is that kind of like, it's kind of like, I don't know, training the dog. Like, we've been training the dog a lot lately. I was like, it's just when you're out in public, like, he's gotten so much better. We've got a really good dog trainer in. Mikhail's like, he's not a fiend or a demon anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dog is actually a dog.
But now, like, when he's out in public, he's still, if he acts up, you're just like, oh no, people are thinking I'm a bad person because my dog's being a fucking dog.
Mm.
My handstand's being a handstand.
Mm. That is definitely a really true thing. Your handstand is actually being a handstand. Like, that. This is the nature of the activity you have chosen. But I guess that's also the thing. Like, it's a control thing, and you have the need for control, and then you kind of channel your sensation of control into this, and you try to control that. You try to control the handstand, and then since the handstand by definition is difficult to control, and you cannot, then you start putting that punishment on yourself rather than treating it as it actually is. So I think like, There is value of I think it's good to kind of put some, like, or how to say, it's not bad to put some like value onto what you do and like be intimately kind of like passionate about it, but at the same time, I think it's kind of like one of those like philosophical dualities there that needs to be present. That like you can have that, but at the same time, you need to reflect over what the fuck you're doing. You're just some fucking like protein factory that has decided to stand on your like upside down on your the extremities you're not allowed or like supposed to stand on, and then you're bitching and moaning because you fell down. It is kind of dumb. And having those two perspectives at once, I think is be able to see it from both her.
Your animated protein string standing the wrong way around.
Yeah, exactly.
What did you think was going to happen?
Yeah, exactly.
Such hubris to think you could do this.
Was going to happen. Like,
I just thought of a few things there based on this. One, the first one is like, just to blow everyone's mind, have you ever realized that like, you're not actually handstanding, you're just looking at the floor and your body's doing the handstand?
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, you're just there.
Looking you're just there observing. Yeah. Your whether body, or not it works. Whether,
yeah, basically.
It's not up to you.
And then the other thing is, back to the whole frustration chemicals in the bloodstream. So obviously they're mounting up. Now, has anyone heard of these blood donation services? There used to be a Swiss clinic that I remember hearing this through the wellness scene in London many years ago, where you could go get your blood basically changed with young person blood. And now it's become a bit more prevalent.
Uh-huh.
So you can go and like now it's like they take blood from young people and plasma and stuff. And then they'll give it to older people and it rejuvenates them because it's got all the young people
stuff.
But now obviously you're getting all the hormones and stuff. And if we decided to fuck with, like, if you think like it's going to be very wealthy, you know, these services are not available to the general public. You've got to have cash.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably an asshole. Then, you know, let's just say, if you're availing the service, you're trying to live forever, you're probably an asshole. Maybe, maybe not. But, and I'm sure there's very valid medical uses for them. But on the off chance that your blood is going to Bill Gates or, I don't know, Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump even, whoever would avail of these kind of services, if you donated blood after your handstand session when it was full of frustration, they wouldn't get that young people kick into their bloodstream. They just get the frustration kick.
Mm-hmm.
So you could really just like, you know, tailor like that hit you're giving people. Just like go in, deliberately just have a week of the worst sleep ever. Don't eat properly. Have like fucking get hammered every fucking day. Go in, do handstands until you're beginning to break yourself. Donate blood to the service. They pay you for it as well. And then you know you're fucking with someone.
That's an incredibly that's a very complex way of fucking with someone with a lot of money.
Yeah, but it's like it's probably your only chance to ever like fuck with someone like this.
That's true. Like, or you can find their Elon house Musk. And like throw a brick in their window.
Yeah, but like you get arrested for that.
And,
like,
that's true.
The problem is like they have lawyers and legal teams and like, you know, suddenly you're like bankrupt by trying to pay $10 billion in emotional damage and stress. Whereas
you can give them damage and stress.
Yeah. Emotional damage. Basically. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's that sounds like a certainly...
It's a method among many, I assume.
It's a method of protest that I'm fully endorsing. Handstands for fucking with billionaires. That'd be a good idea. It's this kind of thing. Oh, it's going to be a kind of thing. Yeah. It's frustrating coming up with topics for the podcast.
Yeah, that's definitely that frustrating. If you guys have any that you want us to cover, then send them to us, of course.
Or if there's topics that we covered in the past that you'd like us to revisit,
yeah,
we'd also do that if there's enough kind of interest for a certain topic.
Yeah, because this is a rambly one because we decided to ramble, of course. And sometimes they go handstand, sometimes they don't. You know how we are. We don't really have... very much of a structure for our podcast at all when we start. I mean, we are the ultimate, I mean, as we said before, we are the ultimate kind of demographic that does start podcasts, mid-30s, white scrubs, and then boom, we have a podcast and we talk about all the things and pretend we know what we are talking about.
I think we should just start a true crime podcast.
True crime. Yeah, true crime isn't that interesting. We should do the conspiracy.
Is there any like handstand people who've committed like notable crimes?
Not that I know of.
I'm sure if we got researching like into the vaudeville scene, we could probably find like, I don't know, something, some bank robber or murder or something.
Yeah. It must be something, that's for sure. But I think we should make the conspiracy cast. Like we just go like neck deep in like fucking Reddit, weird shit, YouTube, deep down garbage, and then we just make the glorious cast about all the weird shit we find. Yeah. You find a lot of weird shit, and so do I.
Yeah.
Holy shit, the stuff that this guy sends me sometimes is just like...
The stuff that you've sent me. This does not make me seem like the bad one.
Yeah, but Emmett sent me awesome shit yesterday. Holy fuck. What was it called? That fucking ball. So there's some guy who's just like, he's on Kickstarter. They wanted backing for 4,000 euros. They got 45 fucking thousand euros to just create a metal ball.
They didn't create it. It's just like a metal ball.
Yeah, it's a metal ball.
I've got like a stack of them out in my juggling pile for like contact juggling.
Yeah.
Literally a contact ball, if you're familiar with this.
It's a metal ball, and it's supposed to be like a weight to train your biceps and to train your uppercut.
Yeah, this is the pitch. Train your explosive uppercut. Now, anyone knows anything about punching is the bicep does not do the uppercut.
No.
Your hips do the uppercut.
Well, it's so fucked. Like, imagine, like, you're paying someone 45,000 euros to design a weight. Because that's what it is. It doesn't matter if you hold it like a sphere or if you hold it like a fucking banana. Like, it's an object you hold in your hand that has weight.
What we should do is make a rock. And we'll just say, we make the exact same pitch, but it's a stone because it's more primal. And then when people sign up, we'll just post them bricks.
Yeah.
Basically, like what we've done with brick and handstands.
Yeah, exactly. But
that was a joke.
Yeah.
And this one isn't.
But maybe we should do that again, but make it not a joke. And then bam, just like get it on Kickstarter, get all the fucking money.
Yeah. We were getting some emails to when we launched brick. We got some emails. Thank you for those people who sent those emails. You know who you are. Of saying it was very unethical to make such a heavy handstand product because it's bad for the environment to be shipping bricks around the world when people could just buy them locally.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's definitely an Ate the Onion moment.
Remember when we did the standing on the footstand program for 1st of April a few years ago? I mean, there were people that took it seriously.
Yeah.
Like, people literally thought we had made a stand on 2 feet program. And like asked us like why we would like what was this and like what was the benefits and stuff, and I was like, it's the 1st of April. Go figure.
Yeah. Wait till people see what we have planned for next year.
Yes. Things can happen. Hopefully you forgot what we talked about now until next year. And you will, because this is all goes into the ether and it's intangible.
Except some person listens to this after April and like, what have they got planned for next year?
Yeah, it's true.
It's just an infinite repeating loop of April Fool's Days.
Yeah, that's true. And then they think that like that means we have to one up it every year. God damn it. That's going to be a bit difficult.
I think just slowly, basically the moment when we actually fade into obscurity and just nuke the site and everything will be the moment we run out of April Fool's jokes.
Yeah.
We can't do it again. We just have to delete everything.
Give us April Fool's jokes, guys. All right, we'll come up with good ones.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that's it.
Quick, have to end the podcast.
Bam. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Good night.
The Handstand Cast is brought to you by Handstand Factory and is produced by Motion Impulse. Thanks for tuning in. You can find a full transcript of each episode along with the show notes and any relevant references on handstandfactory.com/podcast. Thanks to Isaac for editing and Jordan for transcriptions. Music by Daniel Horwath. If you want to support the show, you can buy us a coffee on buymeacoffee.com or consider starting one of our Handstand Factory online programs. Links are in the show notes.